always just be a sponge for knowledge. It's all about learning.
The one thing I learned. Lessons for life.
This is The One Thing I Learned podcast. This episode is one of my favourites. It's with one of my favourite people in the world, Cole Gowdy. They have been an editor for over 40 years, spanning all sorts of work, multi-award winning, world record holding. They have worked on Tetris, Star Wars, Rogue One. They cut Monsters with Gareth Edwards. And I'm privileged to call Cole a really good friend after we met making the short film James Hyde, The Very Thought of You, which we're currently in development for trying to turn into a feature film. Cole is more than an editor, a great storyteller, filmmaker, and just one of the best people I've ever met. So this lesson is special to us as a family.
It's such a difficult question to have just one thing that I've learnt. It's harder than picking your one favourite movie and your one favourite song, which is obviously Apocalypse Now and Your Disco Needs You by Kylie. So the one thing I think, if I was going to narrow it down, would be that I never stop learning. And that's what I would teach my younger self is, don't worry, don't think you've got to learn everything before you can start the process. You're always going to be learning. After 46 years of editing, I'm still learning. And it's also to learn things about life outside of work. The very first job that I got that was a really big break back in the early 80s was cutting a documentary about the Vietnam War. And I got that job because I was talking with the director at a party, and he talked about the Vietnam War, and I could engage in that conversation. And because I'd read a specific book on the Vietnam War, he said, do you want to cut this film? And I was like, yes, please. And that has followed me through in my career. The film that I've just finished with you, Ben, I mean, honestly, when I heard about it, I sent you my little email saying, hey, I used to be in the Air Training Corps. I can, you know, I've been in a plane, like in the cockpit of a plane. And I've got all this experience of war projects that I've worked on, and I've flown in a P-51 and all sorts of stuff. So that was a way that we first engaged. I was like, I would really like to do this job. And I think hopefully that made me stand out from other editors that you might have been talking to about doing the project. So it's to always just be a sponge for knowledge. It's all about learning. And obviously learn the software. Learn software that people aren't even using yet. So years ago, I was on using a Premiere long before anybody else was really using it professionally. And then I got a feature film and the director wanted to cut on Premiere. So I wasn't panicking on day one going, how do I use this? Because I'd been using it at home for my own little projects just to learn the software. So I would say, keep learning all the time. To this day, I'm still like, I will cut stuff on my iPhone, on my iPad using iMovie just to learn that skill set. Because someday, that's kind of helpful in a professional environment, believe it or not. In the middle of last year, I cut a commercial for Meta glasses, the Ray-Ban glasses with the lens in. And that was all shot on that format as opposed to that format. It was shot at 30 frames per second. And again, that wasn't a scary thing because I'm used to cutting that sort of material that I've just shot myself. So I think learning would be the one thing. Don't be afraid to learn, and don't be afraid to go to as many outside influences as you can. Go to art galleries, go to museums, read as many books as you can, watch as many documentaries as you can. It makes you a more knowledgeable person, and it does help your career. So I think it's a double-edged thing. It's a benefit in both worlds, personal world and professional world.
Yeah, I think it's quite an important... Well, I think it's a very important lesson. I think it's a wonderful lesson. And, you know, Rick Rubin, I was just listening to his book, The Art of Creativity, and he talks about, you know, one of the things that is, which is a blocker in creativity is this project is going to define me. This is the one thing that I'm, it's going to be my masterpiece. Whereas actually, it's a stepping stone. Every little job is, you're just moving forwards and you make it, you release it into the world, and then you move on and you take the lessons that you've learned making it. You know, it can be a scary thing making something creative because you feel like you're putting your soul out there a little bit and you're going, this is what will define me. But actually, I think that's a really, you know, a sort of twist on that is sort of, you know, make it, release it, and then learn from that and always be learning. I think it's
absolutely. And I think it's also that even a bad experience, and I've been very lucky in all these years, I've only actually had a couple of little projects that they ended and I was like, wow, I, you know, didn't dodge that bullet. But I still learned something from them. There was always something I could take forward. And the other thing is, in terms of the longevity, that I say to assistants who are desperate to be cutting already, who were in their early 20s, and I get it, I understand it, I was the same and I was gutting off and cutting my own little projects at that age, but I say to them, if you become full-time editor and you're not assisting anymore by the time you're 35, you're still going to have at least 32 years of being an editor. That's if you leave it as late as that, because they think that's late. It's in the bigger picture, and now I'm in my 60s, I can look back and realise that there's so much to come. That if, you know, if you're lucky and you can keep your career going, obviously, but you don't want to push it all in and then burn yourself out or get frustrated. When I was an assistant, I would assist, and sometimes I'd become dubbing editor, and sometimes I'd be an editor. And I would flip back, because that's the way in the years that I was in those roles, for those 10 years. That's what was expected of you. And I never hated it when I went back to assisting, because I was always looking at the editors I was working with my editor's head on, thinking, oh, that's how they're doing that. Oh, gosh, yes. So you got that little bit more experience, but then stepping back a little bit, you could put that all into play and you could soak up more into your sponge, I think. And the other thing is, I remember in 2008, I did a film called Monsters. And before that, I'd worked on many very difficult projects. I worked on the BBC's first ever Dolby Stereo production, which was a feature-length documentary about a Stephen Sondheim musical. First thing ever done in Dolby Stereo. There was no manual for us because we were cutting on film. Audio was on film. And we were learning that as we went along. I worked on another film later on where the leading actor died midway through the shoot. So we then had to reshoot all the shots with him in, use as much material as we could from the original shoot that was the reverses, so we didn't have to reshoot everything. I mean, those are quite big events to happen, and there's many, many of them. And everything that I had done leading up to Monsters felt to me like it was there when I look back on it. And Monsters was so technically difficult, it was out there. But I wouldn't have been able to do that without all of this, all these things that had gone wrong here to lead me up to being able to do that. What was interesting then was I finished that movie and I thought, that's the pinnacle. That's the hardest thing I'm ever going to do. And then cut to like 8 years later and I was doing a Star Wars movie, which was out there, was off the shot. So, but again, these were all things that I had learnt to get to that, to be able to cope with that pressure and to remain calm. Because nobody likes a panicker. Panicking never achieves anything. Raising your voice rarely, if ever, achieves anything. Sometimes quite the opposite. So it's remain calm. And I always say to my assistants, write a diary as we're doing the film. You know, simple little thing. So that you can look back on it in years to come and you'll say, do you know what? I've lived through worse. You know, we surmounted that problem. Because it's easy to forget those things.
Is that a trait you look for when you're working with other people and that they're also trying to learn and that, you know, I guess if people think they've learned it all, then that's a bit of a problem, isn't it, really?
There's actually nothing worse than working on a project with somebody who has such set rules that they don't like experimentation. They also don't like thinking outside of their very small box. People who say things like, I never ever dissolve, you know, I never fade to black. And you're like, you've just taken away tools of the trade of storytelling from an editor's point of view. It would be like saying to an artist, you know, you can only use one color. Now, Picasso's blue period, he might have gone result, but that was his choice, right? For that to be imposed on an artist, you can only paint in blue. And yet I want, and then they watch the finished thing and they're like, oh, it's not very colorful, is it? So it, why limit? So I don't like people that, and I manage to usually avoid those sorts of people because you hear, you hear about people before you take on a job. So yeah, I do like, I like people who are fun to work with is the most important thing, because you spend more time in the edit with your assistants and your directors and your producers than you do with your family. And so, as Ridley Scott would say, it better be a happy marriage because it's one hell of a sticky divorce. Yeah. So always, I just like to work with people that are nice to work with.
That's one of the things I admire about you is, as well, is like, it's almost like those lessons you sort of treasure, like as you're going, and that's, and I guess in a cut and an editing situation, you don't want to get too attached to everything as if that it can't change. And how many times, you know, just us working together, right, just on our little short, you know, we would push things and break it a little bit, and then go, oh, it doesn't
break
matter.
It and bend it back.
Yeah.
And Gareth's expression that he always had was, in the spirit, Gareth Edwards, director of Rogue One and Monsters, and because I worked with Gareth on quite a few projects over many years, and Gareth used to say, in the spirit of experimentation, you would unpick something completely, thinking, oh, it was fine, and then you'd be like, wow, that actually is better. So I've certainly learnt that, again, in terms of learning. I've learnt that in my head I might think something is perfect, and if somebody asked me to take it apart and start again, I won't block that out. If there's the time. If you're up against a ticking clock on transmission, you also have to learn the fact to say to people, we're not going to improve this and we might miss transmission. This is as good as it's going to get before we transmit tonight at 10:45. If there's the time, then always do the experimentation, like always, because you never know what you're going to come up with.
The one thing I learned. One guest, one story, one lesson, every week. Kind of lesson that stays with you. Not advice, not noise, just something true. Something gathered on the way. Something worth passing on. Listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And at theonethingilearned.com. Produced by Amelia Clement. Music by Benjamin Hallway. From Stamp Productions.